Did I have any experience do I know anything about the effects of the Voice of America behind the Iron Curtain? Is that correct? Well, the Voice of America was operating when I, before I was arrested, and it was beaming its programs to Hungary and Czechoslovakia. And they were very effective. Measures that the Russians and the governments, the Czech communist government and the Hungarian communist government, took against the Voice of America was to declare it as American propaganda. That is propaganda of United States government. They pointed out that the Voice of America was a government agency, was controlled by an administration that wanted to force itself and American imperialism upon the people's democracies. That it was being supported by militaristic people whose interest it was to continue the world war.
Mr. Fulton. It seemed to me as I listened to all these things that were going on and getting your release, it seemed a very circuitous way of getting at it. Now, wouldn't there be some direct method that our government could use in forcing the release of American citizens?
The question is there some better way, some more direct way to obtain the release of an American citizen who is imprisoned falsely by communist, or by Soviet Russia, or by her satellites than was used in my case? Yes, I believe there are, and I'm gratified to see that we're rapidly approaching the point where we shall be able to do it in a much more direct way. For years, we've been very kind, very complacent. We've tried to take the attitude, well, everyone has a right to their own form of government, and even when we got a few slaps, we let them go by. We're a big country, we're just like a big man. Little fellow hits him while he passes it off and laughs about it. The Russians have tried to give the impression to the peoples whom they have subjugated that this good-naturedness of the Americans was not strength, but was weakness, that we had to take it. And we did it, and we did it out of a spirit of cooperation. I know that. For instance, when they blockaded Berlin, instead of running an armored train through there, as we should have, to break the blockade, we created an airlift. The airlift cost us many American lives and a great deal of American money, and also wore out a great deal of our equipment. When the Russians objected to every measure that we wanted to institute, constructive measure that we wanted to institute in the countries occupied by the four powers, we were always opposed by Russia. We let them get away with it. They would put our citizens off their trains for no reason at all. The papers would be in order. They just put them off to inconvenience them in the presence of nationals of other countries, just to show that they could do this and that no countermeasures would be taken. Well, we stood for this. We stood for it for a long time. And we stood for it long enough. And I see by the papers and talking with some of our officials and so forth that we have changed our policy and we're going to get tough. And that's the direct way, because that's the only thing they understand.
Mr. Bolger, You partly answered this question before, but I wonder if you don't think that there is a tendency in this country to exaggerate the strength of Russia.
The question is there a tendency in this country to exaggerate the strength of Russia? Yes, I believe so. There's a tendency. From what I've been able to observe personally, I've had occasion in Vienna to speak with many Russian officers. I was a civilian. It wasn't difficult for them to talk to me. I wasn't in uniform, and they weren't observed too much. Many of these Russian officers told me that they were very unhappy under the communist regime, that there was a lot of talk, a lot of show, but that Russia didn't really have, they had lots of manpower, and they're courageous people, but they don't have the equipment or the technical advances that we have, and couldn't possibly defeat us, and that they didn't have the power actually to antagonize us the way they did. And that these men themselves would gladly desert from the Russian army and come over to America and help us set things straight. They wanted a better Russia. They didn't want Stalin. They'd had enough of Stalin and that type of regimentation because they had been out and had seen what was going on in the rest of the world. And the thing that deterred them from deserting, and the only thing that deterred them, was the agreement that we made at Potsdam or at Yalta. I can't remember which in which one of the agreements this article occurred. But there's an article that we approved or we consented to that bound us to return all Soviet deserters to Russia. And we have been doing that, at least up until the time of my arrest. I don't know what's going on now. And when these men are returned, of course, they're shot. So we haven't been getting as much information in the past as we should have been getting. But as soon as we take a more practical attitude on all these matters, I think we'll find that Russia is very weak, as a matter of fact. And that all this is just a complex, an inferiority complex. You've got to go around and show how good she is. Oh, you mean after my release? Oh, I thought you meant today. You alarm me. Was there any foundation for the conflicting reports in the newspapers when I was first released? Some of the newspapers stated that I was guilty of some of the charges, and then other newspapers denied it. Well, when I was released from prison, you can imagine the condition I was in. I was told that morning at 7 o'clock that I would be released. And then I walked across the border. I was picked up by an American official and driven to Vienna. The shock of just being released was very great. And two hours after I returned to Vienna, they had a newspaper conference. And, and there were about 50 newspaper men there, and in the meantime, I had been told that, I had no idea what had been going on till this time. And I was told that, what had been going on during my imprisonment. And I'd been told that the newspapers were largely responsible for my release, and I should be grateful, and I should give them this press conference. My doctors, of course, objected, but we all went down there and we had the press conference. There were 50 some odd reporters. And there were questions we asked, and one of the questions was there any truth in my confessions? And they then expanded on that question and told me that the Hungarian government had published a white book in English entitled R. Sanders and R. Vogler and E. Sanders before the People's Court of Hungary. And I had never seen this book, but it was a translation of the testimony that was given at the trial by all of the defendants. And they told me, well, there's the truth in it, and trying to be sarcastic, I said, why, of course there was some truth in it. My age and my name and my place of birth and so forth, that was all true. But you know as well as I do that the rest is not. And that gave some of the boys left quickly, filed a copy.
Keep Mr. Vogler here until quite late tonight, but we've run substantially past our usual adjourning time of 9 o'clock, so we'll stand adjourned. Good night.